Hello, friend. Thank you so much for downloading this broadcast, and it is my sincere hope that you will hear something that will encourage, equip, edify, enlighten, and then get you out there in the marketplace of ideas. But before you go and start listening to the broadcast, let me take one moment and introduce you to this month's Truth Tool. It's a book called Misled, and I chose this book because when you start listening to some of the things that are being taught from the front of the church today, it's disconcerting. Legalism, overemphasis on prosperity, a warped sense of grace, harmful ideas that will turn people off from the gospel and lead them away. That's why I've chosen the book Misled. The purpose of this book is to help you learn how to identify false teachings while at the same time finding joy in the gospel with all its power and its simplicity. We're listener-supported radio. These truth tools are my way of not only helping you grow up in Him, but they help our program as well financially. So simply call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58. Give a gift of any amount, and I'll send you, as a way of saying thank you, a copy of the book Misled. You might also want to go online, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the cover of the book, Misled. Click it on, make your donation, take it less than 2 minutes, and I'll send it right off to you, again, as my way of saying thank you. While you're on that website, linger for just a moment longer. Just below Misled is a description of what it means to be a partial partner. Those are people who give every single month at a level of their own choosing. They always get the Truth Tool each and every month, but they get something else. I put out a newsletter every single week that includes a copy of my radio transcript, and the only people who get that are my partial partners, as well as an audio piece just for those who are partial partners. So if you want to support this program on a monthly basis, again, you choose the level. My way of saying thank you is sending you a copy of each and every month's Truth Tool and a weekly copy of our newsletter. So in the market with janetpartial.org, scroll to the bottom of the page or call 877-JANET-58. 877-JANET-58. Again, this month's Truth Tool, Misled, to help you better contend for the faith. And now please, enjoy the broadcast.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Partial. Happy Wednesday to you. Thrilled we're going to spend the hour together. And you know where I'm going to start. Let's take a look at Israel. So the White House now is taking heat after it admitted it held up an ammunition shipment to Israel, which included bombs, because of opposition to the Rafah operation. Senator Lindsey Graham called it, quote, the worst possible signal to send to the bad guys. I'm going to share some of that audio with you on Friday, and we'll dig deeper into this. But in the meantime, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed that yesterday's seizure of the Rafah passage was necessary to destroy Hamas's capabilities. He is meeting today with CIA Director William Burns about the hostage negotiations with Hamas. And in the meantime, two Israeli officials claim Israel got played by the U.S. and mediators after drafting what Israel views as a new deal and not being transparent about it. Let me turn to my friend Chris Mitchell, again, bureau chief for CBN News, located in Jerusalem, for an update. Have a listen.
In the face of U.S. pressure, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu explained why the war cabinet approved its operation into Rafah.
Seizing the passage in Rafah today is a very important step, an important step on the way to destroying the remaining military capabilities of Hamas, including the elimination of the four terrorist battalions in Rafah, and an important step to damage the governmental capabilities of Hamas, because as of this morning, we denied Hamas a passage that was essential for establishing its reign of terror in the Strip.
The White House, which has strongly opposed an invasion of Rafah, says it's monitoring the operation.
What we've been told by our Israeli counterparts is that this operation last night was limited and designed to cut off Hamas's ability to smuggle weapons and funds into Gaza. Now, our views on Rafah have remained the same.
On Tuesday, at the Capitol Hill ceremony to remember survivors of the Holocaust, President Joe Biden condemned the recent rise of anti-Semitism and the Hamas massacre on October 7th.
Now, here we are, not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later. And people are already forgetting. They're already forgetting that Hamas unleashed this terror. That it was Hamas that brutalized Israelis. It was Hamas who took and continues to hold hostages. I have not forgotten, nor have you, and we will not forget.
Also on Tuesday, the Biden administration confirmed it's withholding a large shipment of 2,500-pound bombs, fearing it would be used against Rafah. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham blasted that decision on Fox News.
This is the worst possible signal to send to all the bad guys, that America would be withholding weapons and ammunition to the Jewish state who's under siege on multiple fronts. That is just inciting more violence.
Israeli journalist Gadi Taub tells CBN News it comes while Israel is fighting for its life.
And they are now holding us by the throat because they are withholding ammunition from the IDF. So Israel needs to fight this war. If it is to survive, it will need to fight more wars because it would need to break the noose that Iran has been constructing around us. And the United States is protecting that noose.
The U.S. still believes a ceasefire can be worked out between Israel and Hamas. Today, CIA Chief Bill Burns is expected to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
So again, you understand how Israel has been absolutely consistent. They are going to uproot Hamas in its entirety. They know that Rafah is very much of a center for terrorist activity. They were not going to let global pressure deter them from doing what needed to be done. By the way, I sent out a tweet yesterday of the tunnels that they discovered in Rafah. No surprise there. So again, innocent people living on top while the terrorists are burrowing like some animal that fears daylight underground. So now the hostages must be taken care of. Hamas not yet fully rooted out, but again, with the action that took place in Rafah yesterday, it moves them exponentially closer to that point. But the hostage situation still remains. And in the meantime, by the way, how do you broker a peace agreement where you've got it between Hamas, Egypt, and Qatar? Where was Israel in the midst of those conversations? Nowhere to be found. So now, in the meantime, we've got William Burns from the U.S. meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu today, and we'll watch that one very carefully to see what the outcome is. In the meantime, let me tell you that there's a statue that's about to be unveiled in the U.S. Capitol. If you come to my town, in the Rotunda, if you see the Capitol Dome from the outside, underneath it, it's called the Rotunda. And in it, there's a long passageway that's replete with statues. It's an absolutely fascinating walk through American history. One of the people there, by the way, is the man who wrote Ben-Hur. If you do not know the story behind Mr. Wallace, the man who authored that story, you will discover that not only did he participate in the Civil War, but he was a man who decided to write Ben-Hur, and during the writing of that book came to faith in Jesus Christ. Was not a believer before he started writing the book, but not unlike the main character in his novel has an encounter with Jesus and his life changes forever. But there are story after story after stories affixed to those statues in Statuary Hall. Well, next Thursday at 11 o'clock, there's going to be a ceremony. It's going to be attended by Michael W. Smith, House Speaker Mike Johnson, and other congressional representatives, as well as Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse. Why will he be there? Because it is going to be the unveiling of a bronze statue that was designed by an artist from Graham's birthplace in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to stand 7 feet tall on a pedestal and depict him gesturing toward an open Bible in his hand as a symbol of his life's work. A posture, by the way, we have seen through decades of his ministry. But best of all, there in the hollow halls of government will be the Word of God, because the pedestal is going to be engraved with the words John 3:16 and John 14:6. John 3:16, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And John 14:6 makes the declarative statement that's at the same time the most inclusive and exclusive statement ever heard by humankind. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." So that statue will be unveiled, complete with scriptures. And don't tell the Satanic Temple, because they'll have apoplexy, and there's nothing they can do about it, by the way, because the North Carolina General Assembly unanimously voted him the state's favorite son in 2013. And then at the time that governor signed the bill into law, that set things in motion. It was approved. And now that statue is going to be there among the hallowed halls of other Americans representing their state and the past. Pretty exciting. We're going to take a break and come right back. Roll up your sleeves. We're going to take a look at the globe around us with a very, very laser focus on Communist China. Back after this. The Bible tells us that in the latter days, there will be more and more false teachers, and we are hearing from so many of them today. That's why I've chosen Misled as this month's truth tool. Learn how to recognize false and harmful messages so rampant in the church today. Ask for your copy of Misled when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. We are fortunate once again to spend time with Bill Gertz, who is national security correspondent for the Washington Times. He has been with the Times since 1985. He's the author of multiple books, and most of them national bestsellers, by the way. The book that I keep picking, because once you read that one, you're going to fall in love with his writing and you're going to want to read everything else that Bill Gertz has written. But this is a great foray into understanding Communist China's goal, their declared goal, by the way, and they don't tiptoe around it. They are unembarrassed by it. They are moving forward consistently to it, and that is global supremacy, hegemony, the big, heavy word that basically means we're going to rule the world. So the title of the book is called Deceiving the Sky, and you have to read the book to see the derivation of that title, but it's a very aptly titled book and really does help you understand what's going on inside Communist China. So I've got that link on my website. I will tell you also that Bill does a fabulous podcast. He really underscores the threat of communism. And he's also on Twitter, and I've got a link so that you can follow him there as well. But as is our practice when Bill comes to visit, I take a look at some of the more recent pieces that Bill's written. And he is he's just a very prolific author, and there's all kinds of pieces. And the news, by its very nature, tends to change on a regular basis. So I try to take some of the most recent columns that Bill has authored so that you and I can get a pretty good sense of what's going on in the world around us. And because Bill has been unwavering in putting a giant spotlight on Communist China and their declared goal of global supremacy, I love to talk with Bill about China, because he's not caught in the kind of schizophrenic trap that we have here in Washington, D.C. toward China. There are some people who believed that if we simply introduced China to the principles of the free market, that somehow democracy would be more attractive to them and they would give up their communist ways. Well, not only has it not happened, but they've helped to put this country in debt, and they've got us in a stranglehold economically while they're continuing to build their military. As evidenced by a piece that Bill wrote recently, again, with the idea that China is doing a lot of dabbling and experimentation and planning with various forms of weaponry, including viruses. So there's nothing new under the sun about that. Bill, the warmest of welcomes. That's where I want to go first, because you had a piece with the headline that says research group used U.S. funds, that's problematic right out of the gate, for dangerous virus experiments in China lab. Here's the schizophrenic linkage again. They're a declared enemy of the United States. They have made that known to every person under the sun. And yet we're going to waltz with them in doing experiments with viruses. We've been through the pandemic. We know how vulnerable we can be, not just as a nation, but as a globe. And then to know that U.S. funds were backdoored to this as well, fill me in.
Sure. Always great to be on the show. This was a story that I did, and it's based on a report that was released last week by the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. They're the group that's part of the Government Oversight and Accountability House Committee. And they've been digging into the origins of COVID and trying to get through the smoke and mirrors that have been put up by academics and in part some parts of the government, trying to prevent them from doing it. And they really zeroed in. And for the first time, the report was released on the same day that a person named Peter Daszak, who is president of a New York-based EcoHealth Alliance, which was extensively involved with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That's the laboratory that two U.S. intelligence agencies believe was the source for the COVID-19 pandemic. And so the report went into detail to say that they had uncovered pretty solid evidence that the government was linked to this gain-of-function virus research, basically deadly research that makes viruses from bats more susceptible to humans. Ostensibly, they were doing this to try to find a vaccine, but we now know that there were deep ties between the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the PLA. That's the People's Liberation Army, which is secretly developing biological weapons.
So it raises so many questions. First of all, do you remember during the course of COVID, when questions were asked of Anthony Fauci, among others, about gain of function, there was this reticence to acknowledge that even that kind of work was being done. So do we now know definitively that, in fact, they were working on gain of function? And can you translate what that phrase means to our audience?
Yes. Well, first off, this Peter Daszak in his testimony explained that he didn't define gain of function research the way that other people did. He basically tried to define it down. The research they were doing, he said, was not gain of function. Well, it was in reality. And that's the reason we had the scientists who came out and they wrote a letter to the journal Lancet, which said that anybody who suggests that the virus came from a laboratory was engaged in conspiracy theories. And we now know that that was a complete lie and a complete cover up by people like Peter Daszak. And we haven't gotten to the bottom of whether Anthony Fauci, who was part of the NIH, National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, what his role was. But it's pretty clear now that the government was funding some of this research in Wuhan, and they were doing it in a covert way. In other words, they gave the money to EcoHealth Alliance. EcoHealth Alliance said, well, we don't call that gain of function, and yet they gave it to the Chinese, which were doing this gain of function. Gain of function means you manipulate viruses, and it gets pretty technical, but basically you manipulate it so that they become more infectious, the diseases to humans, because a lot of these bat and animal viruses aren't infectious to humans, but if you make them infectious to humans, bingo, you end up with a pandemic, and that's kind of what happened.
This is so volatile, and I don't want to move past the story too quickly, but I want my friends to understand just context a little bit. So when you come and you testify on Capitol Hill, you raise an oath, you promise to tell the truth. If you're caught lying, by the way, that is an offense. And you need to understand that what Bill is talking about is stuff that's now out in the open. It's permanently in the congressional record. So this isn't this is not conspiracy. This isn't some fringe element talking. This isn't some social platform where some person who's living in a cave is putting this information out. The things that a lot of people were asking, legitimate questions during the pandemic, are now coming to light. And the answers, in all truth, are rather disconcerting. I still want to understand how the United States is waltzing with communist China and what that means going forward, particularly when they're manipulating viruses. Back after this with Bill Gerks. We are so privileged to spend time regularly with Bill Gerks, national security correspondent for The Washington Times, an award-winning author, best-selling author, by the way. And I don't want to jump over this because I think this speaks to the heart of a lot of people who were saying we have questions, legitimate questions. And when the legitimate questions were raised during a global pandemic, people who dared to question the narrative by, quote, the cult of experts, I will use that phrase purposely, that we were marginalized, they were conspiratorialists, they were taken off of social platforms. It was either the narrative of the federal government or you were going to be silenced. And so now this hearing that took place on Capitol Hill is digging down. And I'm glad, by the way, that on the Hill, they are still trying to get to the base of what happened with this virus, because if it happened once, it most assuredly can and probably will happen again. So the problem here, in a nutshell, is the fact that our tax dollars were backdoored to this, to an organization called EcoHealth, by the way. And as I understand by way of your article, Bill, they were getting, according to Mr. Daszak, who was testifying on the Hill, that they got close to $16 million annually. And that in the beginning, this man, Mr. Daszak, was part of the crowd that shouted that COVID didn't start in the lab in Wuhan. And this was this mythology that it was a bat that transmitted it in a wet market. And anybody who dared to question that was thrown against the wall. What bothers me even more is that EcoHealth has an alliance with the World Health Organization, because according to your piece, the president of EcoHealth served with the World Health Organization. This is the team, this unelected group of globalists now, who want the authority, not elected, not given, not earned. The people have not given this authority to the World Health Organization, but they want to determine what constitutes a pandemic, and they want to call the shots on how a pandemic is going to take place. These are the same people who denied the fact that this started in a lab. And worse than that, Bill, they sat on information for months, and only God knows how many people got injured as a result of the virus because the World Health Organization sat for a while. So this raises so many questions. First of all, and you point this out in your article, where's the oversight? The subcommittee chairman apparently picked up on this, saying that they're getting federal funds. This has to do with multi-million dollar grants that go to NIH and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which Anthony Fauci headed until December 2022. And where was the oversight on how this money was being used? It was bad enough that they wanted to even consider manipulating viruses, but to do it with an entity that is antithetical to everything we believe and has made us a declared enemy is just, it's beyond the pale of comprehension for me. Explain this to me.
Well, in the context of it, a lot of these scientists, Peter Daszak at EcoHealth, Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, they saw China as a way to circumvent U.S. restrictions on dangerous virus research, like gain of function. So they were basically reaching out to the Chinese, and it appears now that the federal government through NIH was basically in on the deal. And you mentioned the figures, $16 million a year for EcoHealth Alliance. They're still getting paid that now. Congress has been unsuccessful in blocking further funding. This hearing that where the president of EcoHealth, Peter Daszak, testified, it was unanimous from both sides of the aisle. Both Democrats and Republicans were saying that no more federal funds should go to this group. And the testimony was very suspect. He was basically equivocating. He was trying to say that he didn't do things that documents showed that he did, like trying to play down or hide his work with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So clearly, I think you're right on the mark that there was not a lot of oversight on this. And they all did it in the name of kind of preparing for health emergencies. And of course, you know, we had the biggest health emergency since the flu pandemic over 100 years ago.
Wow. I think what bothers me more, too, is that you had a man who was calling the shots in our country, a fellow by the name of Anthony Fauci, who now, according to testimony that's coming out ex post facto, really, he was being dishonest. I'm being gracious here. The word is really lied. He was absolutely disseminating false information about working about gain of function, et cetera. I don't understand. I mean, it raises a can of panoply. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. I don't know what's going on inside his heart. But why would you stand in front of microphones next to the president, come and testify on Capitol Hill, and repeat over and over and over again things that you knew, as borne out now ex post facto through testimony on the Hill, were absolutely not true?
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of a saying that I've used in the past about what the CIA and its analysts say. The saying goes, this is a quip, but it goes, we may not always be right, but we're never wrong. And so I think that's kind of what's at play here. Government bureaucrats, and I did a whole book on government bureaucracy called The Failure Factory, which looked at how government bureaucrats are concerned not with getting the mission done for whatever their agency or department is in charge of. It's to protect their budgets and their leadership from criticism or even oversight. So I think that's kind of what happened here. We had a massive failure on the part of oversight. By the way, this select subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic just released documents this week, and I wrote about this in my latest Inside the Ring column in the Washington Times. And the documents were heavily redacted. In other words, all that was left were subheads, but the subheads for the sections were provided new details about the Chinese military's role and how it was President Xi Jinping himself who was responsible for covering up the COVID-19 outbreak.
Well, that's so explosive, Bill. Can I pick it up exactly on that point when we return? Bill Gertz is with us again. He's the author of multiple best-selling books. He's an award-winning reporter, a columnist, journalist, correspondent for The Washington Times. He's been there for quite a long time, and that's because they're smart enough to keep him. He's outstanding at his job. More with Bill Gertz right after this. How do you keep your finger on the pulse of America while listening to the heartbeat of God's Word? On In the Market, we look for God's perspective on current events. Become a partial partner today and keep this Christ-centered program on the air. As a benefit, you'll receive exclusive resources every week prepared just for you. You'll get behind-the-scenes intel from my email to yours. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Visiting with Bill Gertz, always a pleasure, and boy, do we learn every time he comes and joins us. He is national security correspondent for the Washington Times. He's the author of multiple books, and many of them are national bestsellers. He hosts a podcast that's outstanding as well, and he also is on Twitter, so you can follow his pieces there on a regular basis. But also GertzFile.com, GERTZFILE.com, and that'll take you to his regular pieces right there at the Washington Times. So check it out. Bill, can I go back to the headline? So this is a piece that you just wrote for Inside the Ring?
Yes. It just came out. Yeah.
Well, okay. And the headline...
And the chairman of the subcommittee is Brad Westrup, Ohio Republican. He wrote to the Secretary of State asking that the heavily redacted, the information in the redaction be immediately released. So he wants the American people to know the information that other nations have. These two cables came from Taiwan to the State Department, so it's probably Taiwanese intelligence, but the documents don't say that. Again, they're heavily redacted. Only the subheads of each section are made public.
Wow. And the fact that they're redacted immediately means there's a national security issue afoot here. So that's important. And then don't miss the obvious. So there's a linkage between national security and the COVID virus. But you talked about the role that President Xi plays in all of this. Restate that again.
Yeah. The document said basically in one of the subheads that Xi Jinping, who's the supreme leader, he obfuscated his role in covering it up in order to avoid political backlash. So he was basically the lead guy. And it's clear. In fact, the headline on one of the documents was the PRC central government and not local officials was responsible for covering up the coronavirus. And they said also that Beijing knew earlier than they admit that about the disease outbreak. And they said that if they had the initial outbreak could have been contained, except Beijing covered it up. So it's clear that there's some valuable information. Hopefully the subcommittee will get to the bottom of it and they'll release it. My you know, having dealt with intelligence information a lot in my reporting work, it's probably from the Taiwanese intelligence service, which have very good sources inside of China compared to our intelligence services.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So here's what we know definitively. It wasn't a wet market. It wasn't a bat. It was a lab. But the question we don't have answered yet fully is whether this release into the general public was intentional or accidental. Do you think we'll ever get an answer to that?
Maybe once the communist regime in Beijing falls and we gain access to that. And eventually they will, I predict. But yeah, we need some source within the Politburo of the Chinese Communist Party to find that out, because they have there's also reports, and I've reported on some of this, that there was one of the top officials sent a bunch of documents on the pandemic to his wife in Australia, and those documents are supposedly in the hands of the Australian government, although it's never been confirmed that they have them, but they detail a lot of the questions like you asked. Was this intentionally released? The intelligence community's official assessment is that it was not released intentionally. It was not designed as a biological weapon, but they've been so wrong in so many different ways that it's hard to, they have no credibility on this. Another theory I have is that after the Iraq weapons of mass destruction debacle, where the intelligence communities falsely said Iraq had major stockpiles of chemical weapons and other strategic weapons, the CIA has gone to the point where they won't, unless they have a smoking gun, they won't say what they really believe or what they know.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. But keeping that in mind, while we don't have a definitive here, and this is where I'm reminded of my mama saying there's a healthy side to paranoia, I think in this case, it's a watchword. Let me talk about the piece that you wrote that apparently the military, and you taught me years ago, and I have never forgotten this, nothing happens with the PLA and that communist regime without there being an intersection with the military. When you think about it commonsensically, it has to have an intersection with the military if you're moving for global supremacy, because you're going to need your military. So it follows suit. But you point out now that the military is conducting research on sea-based neurotoxins. Again, the idea that they're moving forward with trying to develop deadly biological weapons. Talk to me about this.
Yes, this was based on a State Department annually publishes something called the Arms Compliance Report. And it's often used to disclose information, intelligence information that has been secret for a long time. And that's what happened just this month or last month in their latest compliance report. And I read these very carefully, and I can tell when there's new information because most of the time they just repeat what they say from the previous year's report. But there was a little gem, a little nugget of journalistic gold in this latest report. And that's what was that the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, was developing marine toxins. These are highly potent neurotoxins. Some people may be familiar with the idea of puffer fish, which I know in Japan is a delicacy, and if you eat it a certain way, it's not lethal. But you hear reports all the time that someone didn't prepare it properly and died from the neurotoxins in a puffer fish eating sushi of some sort. But these deadly marine toxins are being weaponized by the Chinese military, and it's being done in secret. When I queried the State Department, I said, do you have any comment on this? I got a kind of a non-response, but what they did say was, we have concerns the fact that China has refused to hold regular talks with the United States, Chinese officials, and U.S. officials to discuss U.S. concerns about its biological arms programs. And China cut them off a couple of years ago and have not returned. So there's no real forum for that. There's an upcoming forum that's held under the auspices of the Biological Weapons Convention, which, again, the Arms Compliance Treaty said the Chinese appear to be violating that treaty. It's supposed to be a meeting in August of that group. So we'll see if there's any progress in trying to get to the ground truth about Chinese marine toxin biological weapons.
But that gets dropped, does it not, contextually in a panoply of other biological weapons that they're trying to develop? You've been writing about this quite a bit over the last several months.
Yes. You know, in fact, I've identified through government reports the key entities that are engaged in Chinese biological research. One is the PLA's Academy of Military Medical Sciences. Now, they were sanctioned back in 2021. But not for biological weapons. They were sanctioned for doing what the Commerce said were brain warfare weapons. So they're building some really deadly stuff. And brain warfare could be anything from directed energy microwaves to what some people suspect may be involved with the so-called Havana syndrome, these incidents where our diplomats and intelligence personnel have been bombarded with some kind of energy, which has caused brain damage and severe health problems.
Wow. You hear this stuff, and all I can think is that if Clancy and shows like Reacher and Jack Ryan and all those other shows are out there, and that's fiction, one wonders how much farther we are in the real life. So I'm just going to ask one question on behalf of everybody who's hearing this stuff going, surely we've got some good guys inside the ring, and that means the Pentagon, if you don't know where that comes from, that are very cognizant of the fact that in their decided and declared goal of global supremacy, in their panoply of weapons is going to be biological weaponry, that we are either working on antidotes or figuring out anticipated moves. It's like a game of chess. What's their next move? You have to think three plays ahead. So I'm just going to believe, and you can say yes or no or say no comment, but I'm going to believe that we have people on our side who are anticipating the chess moves, because in the end, this is more than a board game. This is a deadly sport.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese regard it. In fact, the U.S. reports have said, in fact, just recently, the testimony from the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency to Congress, he said that the Chinese regard biological weapons as a new domain for warfare. So they're gearing up for, using toxins and other kinds of biological weapons in a future conflict.
Yeah. Wow. It's like something out of Manchurian Candidate, only it's real. Unbelievable. So I want to, and this is a continuum here, because I want people to understand, and they would read this in Deceiving the Sky, that you need to understand that China can make all kinds of advances forward without having to fire a single shot. You taught me that a long time ago. So whether it's the inclusion and inclusion of Chinese ideology and entertainment at universities, in corporations, or bringing fentanyl into the country. And that's where I want to go next. And we're going to start this, Bill, and then the music's going to play. So forgive me if I have to interrupt. But your headline reads, Chinese government linked to illicit fentanyl trade. And again, this is another House Select Committee. There's the music. The House Select Committee has given us direct evidence of Beijing's involvement in this. May we please pick it up exactly at that point when we get back. Again, can I just make a statement at this point for a whole lot of people listening, literally from Guam to the Cayman Islands? You're thinking, oh, whoa, and you're ready to grab the smelling salts. Don't. This isn't about making you fearful. It's about making you aware of the fact that the world is a dangerous place. But remember what the Bible tells us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And not only that, but this is why you pray for those in authority, so they're making wise decisions to understand exactly how evil there are some in the world. Bad actors are out there. So pray for those in authority so they know how to react appropriately. Bill Gertz is with us. We're going to take a break. Back after this. We're visiting with Bill Gertz, national security correspondent for the Washington Times, best-selling author, award-winning journalist as well. He's been with the Times since 1985. Just stellar work. Unbelievable. So a piece, again, that you authored recently with the headline, Chinese government linked to illicit fentanyl trade. We know that it is absolutely a horrible plight on our nation right now. So now, again, thank God for the oversight that's being offered by this committee on the Hill. What have they learned so far? And share that with us, please.
Yeah, this is really groundbreaking new information, and I'll tell you why. A couple of years ago, I did a piece on the Chinese role in fentanyl exports and into the United States, which is killing 100,000 or more people a year. I mean, it's like on a war level casualty rate. And I interviewed the two officials, one who was the acting Drug Enforcement Administration administrator, and one was the National Office of Drug Control Policy Director in the Trump administration. And they both told me that U.S. intelligence had no direct information linking the Chinese government to imports of fentanyl, which can be shipped in very small packages because it's so potent. It's really like a weapon of mass destruction. And I was surprised by that. But yet, when they pressed the government, the Chinese stopped sending it directly. They small packages and other through mules and others, you know, drug mules, they sent it to Mexico. So clearly the Chinese government had a role in the imports. Well, this the Select Committee on the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, used open source information to find direct links and found that the Chinese government is actually subsidizing companies that are producing the chemicals used to make fentanyl and actually fentanyl products themselves. I think what was really important in the report is that it quotes from a 1999 book, which in my book, Deceiving the Sky, quotes extensively as well, called Unrestricted Warfare. And that book was by two PLA colonels in 1999, in which they urged the military to use all forms of warfare to achieve their strategic goals. One of those forms of warfare was, quote, drug warfare, obtaining sudden and huge illicit profits, by spreading disaster in other countries. The Select Committee report says PRC-sourced illicit fentanyl and fentanyl precursors have indeed spread disaster in the United States. So why isn't the Biden administration imposing sanctions and taking action against the Chinese government? That's my question. They should be doing that, and this report should trigger some major penalties on the Chinese government. But the Biden administration is too weak and in the appeasement mode to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it also raise the question of a porous border? Because if they're partnering with the cartels, it's coming up through the open borders in the South, is it not?
Yes, definitely. I mean, wow. the border's open and the drugs can be coming up through there. Like I said, a lot of these drugs are manufactured together with the Chinese and Mexican drug cartels. And the Chinese are also supplying special pill processing machines to make pills. And so it's really a catastrophe for the United States. And the Chinese regard it as, again, a form of warfare against the United States.
Mm. Let me linger on that because you taught me this, Bill, and credit needs to go where credit is due. So in their goal for global supremacy, they don't need to necessarily have rockets and bombs. They can do this without firing a shot. So if they partner with the cartels, which, by the way, you've taught me also is financially advantageous to them, then they bring it into the country and you start killing Americans as a result of getting exposed to fentanyl, you've killed an American without firing a bullet. I mean, it's really sort of financially feasible, it's expeditious, and it moves you closer to hegemony by systematically picking off Americans vis-a-vis fentanyl. It's a demonic plan when you think about it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you mentioned that. I'd like to plug my latest Victory Over Communism podcast, which just posted today on victoryovercommunism.net. I look at a fascinating new book, and you should probably have him on your show, is Stephen Mosier. He's written a book called The Devil in Communist China. And he reveals very much the same views that I've had, which is that Chinese communism is not built just on fraudulent Marxist precepts and deadly Leninist and Maoist practices. It's truly diabolical. It's truly satanic. And his book, that's a major thrust of my latest podcast. So I wanted to give it a little plug before we end here.
Thank you for doing that. I know Steve. He's been on the program multiple times. He went through the revolution. He wrote the book A Mother's Ordeal. He described what their forced abortion policy was like. So he recognizes demonic activity when he sees it. And I really appreciate the way that in his new book, he's really helping us to understand that it's not the same old, that they are wholly committed to their worldview and their stated goal. Let me just go back real quick to the fentanyl hearings on the Hill. I found it fascinating that former AG Bill Barr was a part of this. And you quote him in the piece saying the CCP isn't, they're not bystanders, they're prime movers. In fact, you quote him as saying directly, they are knee deep in actively sponsoring, encouraging, and facilitating the production and export of fentanyl and fentanyl precursors for distribution in the U.S. So this isn't a sidebar. This isn't an unexpected outcome. This is with pinpoint precision part of the plan of the CCP. You know, you raised the issue of sanctions. So let's just talk in honesty, because I love the way you're so forthright about China, and you're also an optimistic realist, but a realist nonetheless. Who is going to sanction China? Have we ever sanctioned China, at least within the last couple of administrations? Do they ever get sanctioned?
Yeah, no, this is a huge problem. I'll never forget. I think it was in the late 90s. I broke a major story that China was providing ring magnets to Pakistan. And they were, and everybody says, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it turns out the ring magnets were used by Pakistan to spin uranium for nuclear fuel for their nuclear weapons. So China actually assisted the nuclear weapons program of Pakistan, and there were never any sanctions imposed. So it's been decades that there's been no policies to punish Beijing. And when you don't punish them for these nefarious activities, guess what they do? They keep doing it.
That's exactly right. Oh, my word. Bill, you and I both know I had many more of your columns I wanted to discuss, but every time you come, there's such eye-opening information. Thank you. Please keep on keeping on. You are sounding an alarm. You're a clarion call for common sense and national security and preparedness. We just need to understand that outside of Eden, it is a fallen world, and there are some bad actors out there, and the PLA and the CCP have definitely fallen into that category. I want to encourage my friends, however, to read your book. So start with Deceiving the Sky as a book. You're going to be addicted. You're going to want to read the rest of his books, but follow him at Gertzfile.com, and listen to his podcast. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Bill. We'll see you next time, friends.